You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Gillian Tobias. Today, we're talking film, and more specifically, we're taking a look at a few documentaries. The Bertha Dockhouse Screen is London's only cinema devoted to documentaries, and today, we're joined by its director, Elizabeth Wood, to talk through a series of films being shown in London this weekend. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Now,
hello.
As we mentioned this weekend, you're collaborating with the Sheffield Documentary Festival for a special weekend of screenings. Can you tell us a little bit about the festival and its raison d'être?
Well, I think most people know that the biggest documentary festival in the United Kingdom is held in Sheffield in June every year. And it's fantastic, but of course, not everyone can afford to go to Sheffield and pay a delegate's pass, et cetera, et cetera. So since our mission is to bring documentaries to a wide audience, Sheffield DocFest have very kindly collaborated with us, and we've selected six films that were at the festival, and we're bringing them to London and showing them in a little mini-fest over the weekend called DocFest Picks. So that's the idea.
We're going to start off with the first film, which is Flotel Europa. Can you set up this story for us?
Flotel Europa is a perfect example of a Dockhouse special. I think we're the only people who are going to show it. And it's showing on Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's directed by Vladimir Tomic. And it's the most extraordinary thing. He was a refugee from the Bosnian conflict from Sarajevo. And he came with his mother and his brother to Copenhagen. And this was in 1992. And the Danish, being very liberal but very caring people, decided what were they going to do with all these people coming from Sarajevo and from Bosnia. And so they rather extraordinarily got a floating ship. It's a bit of an overstatement to say it's a ship. It's more like a riverboat, a huge riverboat. And they moved it into a dock in Copenhagen. And they put 1,000 refugees in it. Which is pretty extraordinary when you think about it. So each family had what was a cabin, and there you are, living this thing and whatever. Now, it wasn't exactly luxury housing, but of course these people were incredibly grateful to be there because their families were back and they were suffering. And so what they did was they used videotape to film their families and what was happening with them to send back to the people that they'd left behind. And Vladimir was a teenager, and he has collected this footage. And it is extraordinary, actually, because their resilience is amazing.
Well, we have a little clip, so let's play it now, just to give us a sense of what you're talking about.
Dolaz to vamo. I ne trebate za nas da brinete. To što ponekad ja vama u pismima pišem neraspoloženo, to je samo zato što ja...
Well, that is the sound of the mother of the director, Vladimir Tomic, and she's actually sending a message home to their father who remained in Sarajevo, telling them that they're all well. Now, it is extraordinary because it was the sort of age of the VHS, and I'm just wondering what kind of access gets revealed by the footage that he still obviously saved very closely, and does he mix it with any other footage?
No, it's all found footage. And it's quite special because it is. And I don't know if you see a lot of arts docs, but, you know, the graininess of it is particularly vibrant. And it's very intimate. I mean, you see the lives of these people. You see them struggling to survive in this basically infested boat. I mean, it's not the Hilton, by any chance. But it's, I mean, that particular interview is wonderful because he speaks to the camera and she wants them to say, you know, how everything is great. And they're not, they're just teenagers. You know, they're like the boy next door. And the story is really his coming of age in that extraordinary situation. And of course, what he's really interested in is finding a girlfriend. But in the meantime, you meet all the families around, you see how they collectively keep their spirits up. You know, they have dancers, they cook, they deal with the fact that it's not easy and that some of the young are very bored and maybe into drugs and how they deal with that. And so it's a comprehensive picture of 1,000 people on a boat for 2 years.
And very relevant for the times we're in at the
moment. Absolutely relevant. And that they are all really wonderful human beings.
Well, let's move on to our next film. Now, this is called Camera Person, and it's really the career of cinematographer Kristen Johnson. Now, we're getting pretty meta here, Elizabeth, because this is a documentary about making documentaries, and the director is the leading character. Tell us a bit about Kristen Johnson.
Okay, well, she is the most amazing camera woman. She's, well, if you name it, she's filmed it. She filmed Citizen Four. She's had a close association with Laura Poitras. She did 1971, which we showed. We showed Citizen Four. She did The Oath. She did Fahrenheit 411, 9/11, 9/11, and The Invisible War. I mean, she's got a huge career. She's probably one of the most respected observational camera people there is. And so the film, it's quite extraordinary. It showed at Sundance. I saw it at Sundance. And it actually won the Grand Jury Prize in Sheffield. Hmm. And so what she's done is she's collected, there's no commentary, no current footage. She's just taken footage of what she shot and put it together as a kind of poetic contemplation on what it's like to be out there in the forefront shooting material. And what's really interesting is that within the frame, you're seeing the raw rushes. So you're actually hearing her comments about, shall I pan to the left? What are you going to do? Who's over there? Have we been hit? You know, I mean, that sort of stuff. And so the film overall is just the most absorbing and magnetic, immersive experience of what it must be like to be shooting that material.
I was listening to an interview with her and someone asked her what she's learned over the years. And she said one of the key things she learned is not to press record only once the shot is framed, to start rolling before.
Absolutely.
To keep rolling afterwards. And by the sound of it, that's when some of the documentary magic happens.
Absolutely correct. And to do that is very courageous.
Very.
At times. And only a really experienced. I mean, I think you get that from the film that her sensitivity to the frame and what she's seeing is so extraordinary. And she will continue filming, as you say. And also at that screening, which is on Saturday at 6 o'clock, she's going to do an introduction and then she's going to do a Q&A afterwards, but via Skype because she's in the States and can't come over. It's a wonderful film.
Now, we're going to hear a clip from Camera Person. This is a moment when Kirsten's working on a documentary called Derrida and we meet the French philosopher in her frame.
She sees everything around me, but she's totally blind. That's the image of the philosopher who falls in the well, is it?
Yes.
While looking at the star.
A little audio snippet from the documentary Camera Person. I'm sure that that is an example where she's just filming as they walk across the road. 25 years worth of excerpts from documentaries. Is this a reflective film? By the end of it, do you get a sense that she's posing even herself questions or trying to...
Oh, completely. Yes, I think she used it to consider her own approach and what's happened to her during her career. It's a very much kind of piece of poetic self-contemplation. And it's quite amazing, actually. It really is extraordinary.
Well, I think there are always issues with documentary filmmakers when you're dealing with truth, you know, how...
That word.
How you handle people, their stories, and of course the classic thing of when to turn off, when to step away. It seems there is a lot of power to be had by her judgment calls in terms of how far she can go with her camera.
It's the individual's integrity that makes that mark. Truth is an interesting word because, of course, every truth is subjective to a degree. And one of the things that's so extraordinary about documentary in general is that you're aware when you go to see a documentary that you are going to see an individual's expression of what they believe to be that situation. Very rarely do you get what happens in a lot of commentary-led material is that you're told, this is the truth. I am, you know, the voiceover is the voice of God telling you the truth. And I think that's one of the real powers and greatness of documentary, that it doesn't bang you over the head and tell you how to think, that it actually offers you something so you can decide how you feel about that situation. But I think also Kirsten is amazing, and her integrity is always at the forefront of her brain, I think. But you have to think about the editor as well,
absolutely,
because they receive that information, and then another perspective comes mm-hmm. in, and they have their level of integrity. And
intriguing. Well, Camera Person will be on at the Dockhouse this Saturday, July 23rd, and is showing at the New Zealand and Melbourne International Film Festivals in the coming weeks. Our final film today is Miss Sharon Jones with an exclamation mark. This documentary is by Barbara Koppel, and it follows the eponymous R&B singer as she tried to hold her band together during a year in which she battles pancreatic cancer. Let's hear a clip.
It was tough. They said I was too fat, too black, too short, and too old. And look at me now. All this hard work is finally paying off.
Something was clearly wrong. Her eyes were yellow. She was losing weight, and the doctor said it's cancer.
She might not come back.
We were freaked out, you know? This is my sister.
She can be real tough. This isn't the end of her career. This is the middle.
A clip from Barbara Koppel's documentary, Miss Sharon Jones. For those unaware of her, can you colour in a little bit the life and the soul of Sharon Jones?
Well, she's the most amazing singer, most amazing force. And she had her group and was a legend in her own time, and then was hit by this cancer. And it just so happens that Barbara Koppel, I don't know if you know her, Barbara Koppel is also a bit of a legend. Mm. She made a film called Harlan County in the 1960s, 68, something like that, which was about the coal mining strikes down in Harlan County. And that was an incredibly brave film to shoot. And I was in New York at the time and knew her quite well and know her, the editor of that, very well. And she was literally grabbing money and going down there and shooting two rolls of film and then coming back and getting more money. So she's had a long and very varied career and has become perhaps more mainstream. But I love this film particularly because she has a relationship with Sharon Jones in a way that perhaps she's not in a lot of her other films. And that's really revealing, the pair of them, and it goes through Sharon Jones' battle. But she's such a force. She is just not, it's such an uplifting film, and the music is phenomenal, and you've really got to see it.
It's interesting because a documentary about the life of the singer, there's so many stories that you can focus on, the behind the scenes. You'd think that the treatment of the cancer would be a downer, but I gather it ends up being quite life-enhancing and quite an inspiring film.
Yes, and it takes the film above them. You know, there are an awful lot of films about singers at the moment, documentaries. Mm. I think Amy really had a great influence. But this is much more than that. It's a human story about her and her bravery and her solidarity and her determination, which is quite above and beyond the music and is a really inspiring human story. And the music goes with it, which is great. So
Miss Sharon Jones is being shown at the Dockhouse this Sunday, and it hits American cinemas on July 29th. Elizabeth, just before we go, any other highlights for Dockfest this weekend?
Yes. Tonight we have the opening event for the weekend, which is The Confession, mm-hmm. which is a long interview with archive footage, etc., with Mozan Begg, who was in Guantanamo, and it's the story of how he got to be in Guantanamo as well as what happened to him during and after he got out. And it's a remarkable document, actually, because he's incredibly open about how he got embroiled, how he went from England into a situation, how he became embroiled in a situation where he didn't really know where he was, and how he got basically trapped into this terrible downspin that ended up in Guantanamo. He's a really extraordinarily admirable man. And then the next film on Saturday is City 40, which is quite extraordinary. City 40 is a city in Russia. And, of course, Russia had the problem, as most countries have, of what to do with their nuclear waste. And City 40 became the city that took the nuclear waste. And what you were bribed to do to live there and work there and whatever was, during USSR, they were given terrific advantages. So you got a car, you got a lovely apartment, you had a swimming pool, but you died. So it's
packed for the devil.
A secret city that's never been, and this is a real sort of investigative, secret filming expose of that situation. And of course, probably very popular with everyone, we have My Scientology Movie with the lovely Louis Theroux. And it's very funny and very revealing, but it's an absolute classic.
Oh, we're seeing.
Well, so that's all the six.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you to my guests, Elizabeth Wood. And if you're in London this weekend, then be sure to get down to the Dock House to see all these documentaries. You can find out more information at dockhouse.org. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time on Monday when we'll be rounding up London's art shows. But for now, thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.